Mark Jova, 8th Street. This is TheBealPod.com. The Week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from San Francisco's lovely Lower Haight. Today is the 18th of January, 2018. On this date in 1213, Emperor Tamar of Georgia dies of a devastating disease at the Agarani Castle near Tbilisi. 1593, Thai King Nadesuan kills the crown prince of Burma, purportedly in an elephant duel, though historical accounts vary. 1701, Frederick I crowns himself the first king of Prussia. 1913, the Greeks defeat the Ottomans at the Battle of Lemnos during the First Balkan War, securing the northern Aegean Sea for Greece. 1943, the Germans begin their second deportation of Jews from the Warsaw Ghetto, leading to the first armed insurgency in the ghetto, resulting in 3,000 fewer Jews being deported than planned. 1976, Lebanese Christian militias kill at least 1,000 people in the predominantly Muslim Palestinian Karatina district of Beirut. 1993, Martin Luther King Jr. Day is finally observed in all 50 U.S. states for the first time. 2009, Hamas accepts an Israeli Defense Force ceasefire offer, ending the Gaza War, also known as Operation Cast Lead. Birthdays are French political philosopher Charles-Louis de Secondat, Baron de la Brede, et al. Montesquieu in 1689, and English author A.A. Milne in 1882. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to TBLPod, TBLPOD.com, or send us an email at TBLPod@gmail.com. Most recent arrestee related to the Ahmed Chataev case, Zurad Odoidze, has been sent to the pretrial custody. A Georgian citizen and resident of Akhmeta District, or Rayon, around Pankisi, has been charged with assisting suspected terrorists. Since November, three groups of arrests related to the Chataev group have resulted in suspects and in four suspects and one security service officer killed, six suspects arrested. One additional suspect, another Georgian citizen, was arrested by Turkish authorities in Trabzon province. Investigations are ongoing. Three young men from Pankisi, Yusuf Kangoshvili, Jibril Kushanashvili, and the son of Ramaz, a.k.a. Khizir Margoshvili, have been questioned about their relationship with the suspected members of Chataev's group, based on their former acquaintance with the suspects and photographs of the men together. Ramaz Margoshvili was arrested earlier. Their family members say that most of the people in the gorge knew the suspects because people in the gorge are hospitable, and they have been visiting for several years, ostensibly as tourists and businessmen, and thus their sons should not be assumed to have any terrorist ties. Public defender Nino Lomjadia visited Pankisi this week and met with family members of Temirlan Machilakashvili and four men arrested on December 26th in order to help mediate between the authorities and Pankisi Gorge residents. Temirlan Machilakashvili, who died after being shot during the Pankisi special operation, appears to have been an open ISIS supporter who posted pro-ISIS videos on his Facebook page. State Security Service, SUS, says that he was shot while threatening to detonate a grenade, but his family say that he was in bed and unarmed, and the officers opened fire without provocation or warning. One theory is that the SUS officer mistook a cell phone for a grenade. Photographs and video from the scene confirm that a bullet passed through the head area of his bed. When his family was seeking better medical care for him during the days between the shooting and his death, Austria refused to admit him, calling Machilakashvili a major threat to domestic security. His death has been the source of a lot of outcry and conspiracy theories. Machilakashvili's mother believes the state delayed his transport to a hospital and chose subpar medical facilities for his treatment and thus caused his death, a claim that has been repeated to others, including the head of Tbilisi's Human Rights Education and Monitoring Center, EMC, who said that the state murdered Machilakashvili. EMC has also offered to represent his interests with regards to abuse of power by the SUS and plans to take the case to the European Court of Human Rights. Machi Lakashvili's father has called for a fair investigation and punishment of offenders with a threat of violence if those actions are not forthcoming. Other family members have reportedly said that the State Security Service detail assigned to protect him in the hospital unplugged his life support. A lawyer for the family says that the SUS planted the hand grenade that was found at the scene. Certainly a lot of planted evidence floating around in Georgian law enforcement. Public defender and opposition political parties have also called for a fair investigation. Several NGOs rallied in Tbilisi last week to support Pankizi residents in their claims, which some observers have called premature. In the absence of evidence against the SUS and with seemingly clear ties between Machi Lakashvili, ISIS, and Chataev. Afghan Mukhtarli, the Azerbaijani journalist kidnapped in Tbilisi in May and brought back to Azerbaijan, was sentenced by a Baku court on the 12th to 6 years in prison for smuggling, illegal border crossing, and violently resisting arrest, which is kind of amazing considering he was abducted and brought across the border illegally by the Georgians and Azeri authorities. He says he's innocent, plans to appeal. Amnesty International said, quote, Mukhtarli is the latest victim of Azerbaijan's repressive apparatus of fear, which punishes anyone who dares to criticize the government, end quote. And also called out the Georgian authorities for their failure to protect Mukhtarli. OSCE representative on freedom of the media, Harlem Desir, also condemned the sentencing and noted that the Georgian investigation of the May events as still not being completed. The U.S. State Department also called for his release, along with the release of other political prisoners. Mukhtarli's wife, Leyla Mustayeva, called it, quote, a joint decision of the Azerbaijani and Georgian governments, end quote, and specifically accused Prime Minister Georgi Kvirikashvili and Dotsneba of complicity, and they are surely complicit. Mukhtarli's sister, niece, and nephew died of carbon monoxide poisoning on the 31st of December, and he was not permitted to leave house arrest to attend the funeral. USAID will be conducting a violent extremism risk assessment in Georgia this spring. At around the same time, U.S. Embassy in Tbilisi will be training on prevention and countering of violent extremism. This follows the December arrival of a U.S. security team in Georgia to evaluate the country's ability to protect itself from outside threats, including examination of existing security measures and the country's ability to respond to threats from terrorists, organized crime, and attacks by foreign security services. The December security team was reportedly brought on in response to criticism of Otsneva for allowing the Azerbaijani security services to abduct Afghan Mukhtarli. NATO Military Committee held a meeting in Georgia this week where it discussed Georgia's progress on defense reforms and the substantial NATO-Georgia package. Nearly 40 Georgian volunteers fighting pro-Russian separatists with the 54th Brigade of Ukraine's armed forces have left the brigade following months of provocations against Georgians and suspected betrayal by their commander that left 11 injured. The leader of the unofficial Georgian brigade maintains that their conflict has nothing to do with the conflict itself between former Georgian President Misha Saakashvili and Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko, and says that the men will find a new group to fight with rather than leave the war zone. The UAF 54th Brigade says that only five fighters have left for the birth of a child and for other reasons. Georgia was mentioned several times in a U.S. congressional report titled Putin's Asymmetrical Assault on Democracy in Russia and Europe, Implications for U.S. National Security. The report says that Russia attacked Georgia and Ukraine with cyber warfare, disinformation campaigns, military force, and the countries moved closer to NATO and the EU as the countries move closer to NATO and the EU, and claims that Russia's goal is to turn Georgia and Ukraine into failed states incapable of joining Western institutions and to show Russians the consequences of Westernization and democratization. An accurate assessment, in my view. Parliamentary Chairman Irakli Kobakhidze was in Latvia this week, where he met with Latvian Parliamentary Chairman Inara Murniese, Foreign Minister Edgars Rinkevics, Economy Minister Ervilēs Acedades, Chairperson for the Constitutional Court of Latvia, Ineta Simele, and President Raimon Vengionis and signed a strategic partnership memorandum with the Latvian parliament. President Margvelashvili vetoed the controversial Georgian public broadcaster law, thank goodness, the amendments after they received extensive criticism from private broadcasters and civil society. In his veto, Margvelashvili pointed out two specific parts of the Otsneva-sponsored bill as problematic: the change allowing the broadcaster to air more commercials and the exemption of the public broadcaster from the law on public procurement, which is crazy, on the grounds that they would increase corruption and damage smaller broadcasters that rely on advertising dollars. A group of 36 NGOs, including Transparency International Georgia, released a letter calling on Parliament not to overturn the veto. As of the 1st of January, the Ministry of Health and Labor, Labor Inspection Department will be able to inspect for labor code violations in addition to the health and safety checks it was already permitted to conduct. However, the department still requires permission from employers to conduct an inspection, and its recommendations are not legally binding. A draft law reforming the department and giving it the ability to conduct inspections without prior consent of employers passed its first parliamentary hearing, but a date has not been set for the next one. Activists in Tbilisi protested construction above the historical sulfur baths last week. Members of urban policy advocacy groups Tiflis Hamkari and Guerrilla Gardening Tbilisi were present, as were about 2017 independent mayoral candidate Eliko Elisashvili. Opposition to the Mirza Shafi street development project is over a decade old now and is based on accusations of illegal demolition of cultural heritage sites, illegal excavation of cliffs below the site, and construction that doesn't fit the unique historical area. Activists have vowed to continue protesting and meet with city officials to figure out solutions to the problem. A 20-year-old girl was bride-napped and then subsequently returned to her home in Bolnisi municipality earlier this month. Her parents filed a criminal complaint against the suspect. National Democratic Institute, NDI, from November to had a survey from November to December 2017 shows that 39% of Georgians believe that Georgia is moving in the wrong direction, compared to 26% believing it's moving in the right direction. Most important issue facing Georgians are, number one, jobs, number two, inflation, three, poverty, and four, support for joining the European Union and NATO has decreased slightly from June 2017 to 72%, which is still extremely high for the neighborhood and even within the European Union. 53% of respondents believe Otsneva's performance is average. 13% believe Otsneva's doing well. 32% believe they're doing badly. Most people also believe that the October municipal elections were conducted well, though 30% have concerns about the vote counting process. Recent report released by the Institute of Development of Freedom of Information shows that Georgia was granted asylum to 25% of all asylum seekers from 2012 to 2017. The majority of asylum seekers come from Iraq, followed by Ukraine, Egypt, Iran, and Syria. Applicants from Azerbaijan, Armenia, and Turkey are almost always rejected, which is too bad. Of nearly 6,000 cases, almost half ended in their cases of their own volition, and 1,346 applications were rejected. Georgian Young Lawyers Association has filed an application to the European Court of Human Rights against Russia for the murder of Georgian citizen Giga Otkhozoria near the Abkhaz border in May 2016. Otkhozoria was shot on the Georgian side of the border checkpoint by an Abkhaz border guard. The case argues that Russia, as the country controlling Abkhazia, is responsible for any human rights violations committed in Abkhazia. Interesting precedent that would be. They claim that the shooting violated Otkhozoria's right to life, and the subsequent handling of the case by Abkhazian authorities violated his right to effective remedy. Otkhozoria was tried in absentia in Georgia and sentenced to 14 years in prison and put in Interpol's wanted list. The Abkhazian authorities temporarily put him under house arrest before dropping the charges and releasing him in April 2017. 16 polling places will open in Abkhazia for the March 16th Russian presidential election, in addition to the previously announced 9 in South Ossetia. 2012, 89,000 Abkhazians and 36,500 South Ossetians were registered to vote in Russian elections, meaning all of them. In response to last week's Republic of Srpska visit to by South Ossetian President Anatoly Bibilov, the Foreign Ministry of Minister of Bosnia and Herzegovina, Igor Krnadek, criticized Srpska for welcoming the delegation and said that by comparing the two regions of Srpska, Srpska has devalued its own importance and international status rather than elevating that of South Ossetia. Freedom House's latest Freedom in the World report ranks South Ossetia Europe's second least free place after Crimea. It dropped 1 point from the previous year. Georgia and Abkhazia's partly free rating remain unchanged. The report has not yet been released, but some issues affecting ratings include Afkhan Mukhtarli's case and concerns that Georgian authorities were complicit in the abduction, since they were, and constitutional amendments that will potentially cement Otsneba's control for years to come. Two sites in Georgia have made cultural heritage organization Europa Nostra's shortlist for the 7 most endangered sites in Europe: cable cars in Ciatura and the David Gareja monasteries. The sites were selected based on their unique heritage and cultural value and the immediate dangers they face. The cable cars were nominated because many of the 45 cableways are currently non-functioning and because they receive no outside funding. The monasteries are on the list because the rocks that make them up are decaying, leaving buildings in danger of collapse. The final 7 sites will be chosen in March. Meme this week is a Thrillist ranking of all countries in Europe based on their food and drink. The writers take a lot of their information from national tourism websites and seem to dislike most fish and any cuts of meat that wouldn't be available in the middle of an American grocery store. But Georgia does well, coming in 4th for its bold spice combinations, Khingali, Acharuli, Khajapuri, which the authors predictably call, you guessed it, Chester, bread boats. Stuff to read. OC Media wrote about the dietary problems affecting Georgians today. 11% of children face stunted growth and other face myriad health problems due not to lack of food, but to a lack of properly nutritious food. They also note that 14% of the population either regularly borrows money to buy food or experiences food shortages. The average Georgian spends over 50% of their income on food, while in most developed countries, people don't spend more than 20% on food. Chaikhana covered the lives of blind students at Tbilisi Public School No. 202, Georgia's only school specifically for blind and visually impaired students. The school has 46 students and a Braille library and teaches students not just school subjects, but also how to live as blind people. The Ministry of Education has been working on integrating children with disabilities into regular schools, but disability advocates note that standard public schools don't have the resources or experiences to adequately educate these students, and that no blind student that has attended a regular high school in Georgia has managed to reach university. Chaikhana also published a photo essay on the lives of 2 men who live in the abandoned village of Ulyanovka, a formerly Pontic Greek village near the Armenian border. One man, Muraz Shersevadze, moves from house to house as he pleases, and has appropriated others to serve as pigsties. The other inhabitant, Yuri Rudua, who is a 20-year-old Abkhazian IDP whose family moved to Ulyanovka and then moved on. He uses a solar charger for his phone, takes care of the family animals, and moves to Tbilisi in the winter. And Shersevadze watches the animals alone. Calvert Journal wrote about Hurum, Basiani's queer dance night. They describe Hurum as having everything you might want from an upscale gay night: friendly security, a euphoric dance floor, occasional drag show or BDSM performance, and dark rooms where people can have sex. They also note Hurum's importance as a safe place for gay people in a highly religious, homophobic country where most young people live in homes with conservative family members, and as a place to find a rare queer community in Georgia. All this stuff to read is posted on our forum. This week's dive bar number is 70, the appropriate number of people, the approximate number of people buried in Kutaisi's Jewish cemetery. Interesting place to visit if you're in Kutaisi. On the 22nd and 23rd, the Center for Social Sciences is hosting a conference on performing Europeanization, the case of Georgia and other EAP countries. Starting at 1 p.m. at the National Parliamentary Library in Tbilisi, the language of the conference is English. On the 24th at 7 p.m., a public discussion, The Prisoner Exchange Process and Its Possible Political Consequences for Suchumi, will be held at Caucasian House in Tbilisi, featuring Lasha Darsalaya, First Deputy State Minister for Reconciliation and Civic Equality of Georgia, Medea Turashvili, Senior Advisor to the Public Defender for Human Rights Issues in the conflict-afflicted regions, and Gyorgy Kanashvili, Executive Director for Caucasian House. The event will be in Georgian, but English translation can be provided with advance notice if anybody wants to let them know. Caucasian House is always quite interesting. Should be a good event. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's Tango X-Ray, Tango Bravo, Uniform Kilo. Our email is tpeelpod@gmail.com or post to the form on our website, www.tpeelpod.com. And we will finish with, from New York City, 1996, this is self-titled from The Fun-Lovin' Criminals.
Stay out!